You're listening to episode 52 of the Mad Chatters podcast, September 23rd, 2015.
Most everyone's mad here.
Hey there, and welcome back to another episode of the Mad Chatters podcast, your very important date with the happenings at Walt Disney World and around the Disney universe. My name is Derek, and I'm joined by my fellow chatters, Matthew.
Hey, howdy, hey.
And Jeremy.
Woo!
Short and sweet. I like it. I like when you don't talk. No, I'm just kidding. Today, we're going to continue our series on the animated films and their presence in the parks. And can you believe it? We're already to the 1990s. Crazy.
That's why I'm wearing my parachute pants and have my vanilla ice hair going on tonight.
I like it.
Because I'm too legit to quit. Hey, hey. Matt's face. I wish our listeners could have seen Matt's face there. He just about had a stroke. Anyways.
It's funny you talk about clothes, though, because that reminds me, we didn't say it last week, but the Mad Chatter shirts are in. They have been shipped. They're on their way. You might already have them now. I think they look great. I hope people who purchased them think so as well. So I'm really excited about them.
Yeah, wear them. They look good. We wore them in Disneyland, and we got some nice compliments on them. So they look good.
Speaking of legit. anyway, but before we get to the main segment, we are going to do a roundup. It's the small things, after all.
It's the background music of things unseen. It's the hidden gems and things in between. Though perhaps hard to spot, we sure love them a lot. It's the small things after all.
Jeremy, what is the segment, It's the Small Things After All?
It's the Small Things After All is when we take a step back from the hustle and bustle of the parks and we get a little weepy and a little tender and we look at those things that just make us happy in the smallest way. Mm.
So I still don't know what is the small thing.
We talk about little things in the park that we like. There you go.
I just got like weepy and tender. I don't know.
Like a piece of meat.
I can't help it that I'm too deep for you guys. You guys can't keep up. So
yeah.
I'm going to go first, though. My small thing I didn't realize until I was at the Magic Kingdom recently. And I was waiting for friends to arrive. And I was in the front of the park there at the beginning of Main Street. And it was very hot and humid, so I went inside the theater and kind of where the entrance to meeting Mickey and Tinkerbell, the queue's up there. And then also that is the waiting area for Tony's Town Square restaurant. And while I was sitting there, there was maybe just five or six people kind of lounging in the chairs, a woman breastfeeding on the other side, but that's beside the point. And all of a sudden at 10:45 a.m., the Dapper Dans walked in. And they said, it's time to open Tony's for lunch. And we all were like, oh, okay. And so all of a sudden, they gather around. And they sang Bella Notte from Lady and the Tramp right there. Just like I said, five or six of us just sitting there with our own little private Dapper Dans concert. And then when they got done, we all, you know, applauded. And they said, are you all going to Tony's for lunch? And we all said, no. but it was just a nice little thing that I didn't know they did. Apparently, I guess they do it every day. They go there to open Tony's for lunch. So if you're in the Magic Kingdom around that time and you want to get a little up close and personal with the Dapper Dans, this would be the opportunity to do so.
That is cool. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Mine is the view you get when you first walk into the land pavilion and the ceiling with like the big old ribbon looking things and the hot air balloon looking things. I really like that
all
view.
These technical terms.
Well, I mean, they're basically hot air balloons, but I mean, they're not really hot air balloons. And the balloons themselves like look like different designs. I think one has the earth on it.
Represent the different seasons.
Oh, is that why one has a snowflake?
Yes.
Oh, because it's sunshine seasons.
That would be winter.
Yeah, get it. Anyway, I just really like those, and they're definitely small because I'm sure half the people who go inside don't even really pay attention to them. But it's something that, as you go more and more, you're like, never take those away, because that's what the Land Pavilion means to me, is those balloon things.
Well, Matt, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't there a little bit of controversy when they changed those from what used to be there? Because
those have always been there. That was the controversy, was taking those out.
Oh, okay, I see. I remember something.
They never did take them out. I think they might have, you know, spruced them up a little bit, but they didn't take them. They've always been there.
I see. Good, I like those.
Yep. Mine comes to us from my favorite attraction, Pirates of the Caribbean, and that is the floating bottles and other items that you can see in the water throughout the ride. I mean, on top of all the other massive details that you're looking at, and the sky with the clouds and everything that there is to look at, to even go to the extent of in the water beside you, there's a floating rum bottle or a piece of wood, you know.
I put those there.
Oh, yeah. Well, and one time, the first time I ever noticed it, it kind of scared me, because we're in Florida and there are snakes. And I looked over to the side during the town on fire scene, and there was a thing bobbing up and down next to the boat. And I got really scared. I thought it was like a water moccasin or something, but it was a little bottle. And from that time on, I keep looking around. There's like little planks, boxes, bottles, glasses. Just adds a little extra dimension towards the boat, bringing the story closer.
Mm. Matt, you should host your own podcast called Pirates of the Caribbean with Matt. And just everything pirates related weekly. That would be...
Well, you should host yours about Broadway and gummy bears.
That is quite the demographic. It's very specific.
Since you brought it up... You can actually download it if you go to iTunes.
It's called Broadway and Gummy Bears.
Yep.
That would be amazing.
It's time for another Mad Chatter game! And now, here's your Mad Chatter host, Mad Chatter Jeremy!
Thank you, Steve, thank you, it's been a while, good to see you. And welcome back to another Mad Chatter game, a wonderful time in which we pit our Mad Chatter host against one another in their knowledge of Disney, parks, films, and all things. So we're going to start
science.
Now. Today's game is before and after Disney version. So I'll give you a hint. We'll go back and forth, one person at a time, and I'll give you two clues. Now, the last word of the first clue is the first word of the second clue. So that's what links them. All right? For instance, I would say clue number one. Song Sleeping Beauty sings when she first meets Prince Philip. Second clue. Song Cinderella sings when she first wakes up. And the answer would be...
Once upon a dream is a wish your heart makes.
Correct. There you go. So the connecting word there is dream. Any questions, comments, concerns, complaints?
No, sir.
Matt, since you are the reigning champion, would you like to go first or
second?
Wait,
that didn't count?
No, it did not. That was an example.
Yeah, I'll take it.
You'll go first?
Yes.
Okay, your first one. Ready?
All of these are that.
Yes, they're before and after, linking. Okay. There's one thing linking. And this game is not an original game with me, by the way. It comes to us from our... not our sponsor, but Sporkle.com, where you have lots of fun little quiz games.
We had a sponsor. Maybe they could be our sponsor.
Maybe they could.
Give us money.
All right, Matt, your first clue. He was convinced the sky was falling. Your second clue, Robin Hood's right-hand man.
Chicken Little John.
Correct. A point for Matt. Very good.
That's a fun little game.
Good. We've
it's
only
not
just
even,
begun.
It's not over yet.
I've never said that about one of our games before.
Aww.
Aww.
That hurts Steve. All right, Derek, your first clue. She lived with 7 minors. Clue number 2. He's late for a very important date.
Snow White Rabbit.
Correct. Very good. Tied 1-1.
Got the definite article.
Snow the White Rabbit.
Oh, well, sometimes definite articles aren't important. Matt, your turn. Your first clue. Ready? Bernard and Miss Bianca team up again, this time in Australia. Clue number 2. Sebastian tries to convince Ariel the ocean is better in this song.
Rescuers Down Under the Sea.
Correct.
That'd be like a sequel.
A treacle.
Yes.
There we go. All right, Derek, your turn. Pocahontas song that won an Oscar. Clue number 2. Mr. Toad, Rat, and Mole feature in this story.
Colors of the Wind in the Willows.
Correct. Very good. That was kind of tricky.
Just very, around very the river, good. Bend it like Beckham. Is that it? Is that it?
No. Moving along quickly. Matthew, first clue. The first Mickey Mouse cartoon to have synchronized sound. Second clue. Big villain in Mickey and the Beanstalk.
Steamboat Willie the Giant.
Correct. Very good.
I'm getting tougher.
Very good.
I added the giant. I just kind of thought it would be just Willie, but yeah, the giant. Willie,
giant. Derek. Nicolas Cage unlocks the secret of the Declaration of Independence. Clue number 2. Updated sci-fi version of Jim Hawkins' journey with Long John Silver.
That would be, what is National Treasure Planet?
Correct. We're all tied up. 3-3.
Oh.
All right, Matt. Giselle sings this while cleaning up with the rats, roaches, and birds. Clue number 2. Uncle Remus tells the story of Brer Rabbit, Brer Bear, and Brer Fox in this film.
The Working Song of the South.
Incorrect. Derek, first deal.
Happy Working Song of the South.
Correct. Oh, correct.
Darn you.
Point goes to Derek. And now back to Derek as well. I thought you were going to say something else. All right, Derek. Song that Simba and Nala sing with all the safari animals. And clue number 2, Davy Crockett's nickname.
Just can't wait to be king of the wild frontier.
Correct.
Woo!
Very good.
That's a good one.
That is good.
All right, Matt, your turn.
It's a shame you didn't make these up.
It is. I did make the last one up, but we're not.
You shouldn't
there.
Have said anything.
You're right. But I didn't want one of the listeners to actually like play this and be like, wait a second.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Your first clip. Member of the Rescue Rangers who has a weakness for cheese. Clue number 2. On again, off again, Captain of the Black Pearl.
Monterey Jack Sparrow.
Correct.
Captain right. Jack Sparrow.
Derek. Film that introduced Flubber. Clue number 2. Arch enemy of the Basil of Baker Street. Basil of Baker Street.
The absent-minded Professor Radigan.
Correct.
Oh my goodness, I'm so lucky. I just watched that a couple of weeks ago because I never would have remembered Radigan.
Very the nutty professor was in my head for some reason.
No.
The nutty Professor Radigan.
Okay.
Me. Matt.
Ironic name of a Pinocchio deceiver. Number 2, leading male role in Pocahontas, voiced by Mel Gibson.
Honest John Smith.
Correct. Very good. All right, Derek, it all comes down to this. Oh, if you get this last one, you win the game. If not, Matt can steal, and it will go for a tie. Live-action film in which 2 dogs and 1 cat find their way back to their owners. Number 2, Epcot attraction with Dreamfinder and Figment.
Are you counting the subtitle of the film?
Yes.
Now, what do you think?
Well, because I thought that wasn't the subtitle. I thought that was the name of the book, but I guess it is part of the film, isn't it?
Well, it was the name of the original film, and then okay. They remade it. And they
Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey. Wait, repeat the question. Journey into Imagination.
Correct! We have a new Mad Chatter champion. Take it away, Steve.
Congratulations, Derek. You have won this Mad Chatter game.
I'm 2-11.
Yeah, that's why I'm holding up the 2.
Nah, I just made up the 11 part.
Happy.
All that matters is who holds the belt currently. It's
happy
like
working
WCW.
Song.
Happy working song. All right, Steve, take us out.
That's been another Mad Chatter game. Join us next time. Same Mad Chatter podcast. Same Mad Chatter fun.
On this week's show, we return to our series talking about animated films of the Walt Disney Animation Studios and discussing where you can find them in Walt Disney World, if you can find them in Walt Disney World. And this week, we have already reached the 1990s, and believe it or not, 10 movies were released by the Walt Disney Animation Studios in the 90s. Part of me said, let's just split this up into two, but I think the first half is much more well represented than the second half. So let's go ahead and dive into it. If it's okay, I think we should just kind of skip the first one, which is The Rescuers Down Under, and that's because there's nothing specific to this movie that we didn't already mention in The Rescuers. Am I right?
That is true, but it is worth noting, it is sad how the success of Little Mermaid really killed the Rescuer sequel, because when the Rescuer sequel didn't make the money that Little Mermaid made, they just cut, I mean, after 1 week, they cut all advertising for the film. And they just kind of like said, oh, well, it wasn't a success. And, you know, like, I think it's a decent movie.
Yeah,
like, it's
definitely.
It's not a bad movie at all, so.
Are we not going to mention then DuckTales, the movie, Treasure of the Lost Lamp?
You go for it. Is it in the parks anywhere?
Well, DuckTales are.
Oh, they were. They're not really there anymore.
Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Oh, that's
well,
true.
Well, that's true.
But they're in more than just DuckTales.
Yeah. Well, but, it's worth mentioning that that was the first film of the 90s.
Yeah. And that was theatrically released, even though it's technically not a part of the Disney animated canon. That was released under Disney Toon Studios.
Well, I know of one that's going to come up in this decade that you all going to want to hem-haw about.
I did not write down a Goofy movie.
And I would be darned if we're not going to mention the other one.
That is
it doesn't true. Have awkward family issues.
When in fact it does. I was going to say, it really does. Whose nephews are these?
Donald's brother, and why did he knock somebody up and not keep his kid?
Anyway, Jeremy, you mentioned Little Mermaid, and that definitely launched, the word is used a lot, but a renaissance of films, because the next several are represented a lot in the park. So let's get to those, starting with 1991's Beauty and the Beast. So what at Walt Disney World comes to mind first for you guys when you think Beauty and the Beast?
Giant pajama beast.
Yeah. Boom, 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 boom.
It's not even that. It's like flap, 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 flap.
Yeah. And well, of course, he's talking about Beauty and the Beast live on stage at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Yeah.
Yes. Which was the original, you know, Beauty and the Beast inclusion in the park and still remains to this day.
And I had always, I remember watching this in 91 or 92-ish when I don't know when that show started, but I remember watching it close to.
I think it was 90, I think I saw 93 today.
The opening of this show, yes. And that's back when there was no Sunset Boulevard.
Right.
And the theater was up closer to the main area there.
I think I read online that from 93 to 94, it was at what was called the Premier Theater. And then once they built Theater of the Stars or something like that?
Yeah.
They moved it there in 94, 95. So. And it's still there. Still kicking.
Still there.
He's still wearing those pajamas.
Especially within recent years, my initial thought for Beauty and the Beast goes to Be Our Guest restaurant in New Fantasyland, which is wonderful as far as the theming goes. And
unless you're in the Rose Gallery.
Which we've discussed before, Rose Gallery. But even the exterior, you know, how you have the Beast Castle in the distance and you cross the bridge with the gargoyles. And then when you walk into that ballroom, when it's your first time, well, every time really, but especially your first time, it really is just breathtaking because it is, I mean, it looks like the movie, you know, and the snow falling outside. It's just really beautiful. And then on top of that, you have Gaston's Tavern, which is right next door.
You remember when they were building this restaurant and we all lost our minds when they added the water feature to the rocks?
Yeah.
And we're like, you guys, there's water. This is going to be amazing.
I know, because some of those, even today, it's still, when you're on that bridge, you take a picture, it's one of the best uses of forced perspective at any Walt Disney World ever.
Mm. Yeah. I still remember when they were allowing people to peek in to the restaurant. Like, it wasn't even opened yet. And they had it was lined like a queue for like 20 minutes. And they would take in small group and you would stand there right in the entranceway and peek into the ballroom. And everybody was, ooh. And now I'm looking at it and I'm like, we really waited 20 minutes to look at it. Not even to go in, to look at it. But then I remember like all the promotion attached to it as well. On The View, Whoopi Goldberg went there and she wore the bell dress and danced with the Beast in the ballroom.
That sounds disgusting.
Why would they let her do that?
Put them away, honey. Put them away.
But obviously, Beauty and the Beast has a large presence in New Fantasyland because on the other side as well, you have Enchanted Tales with Belle. So
Gaston's Tavern?
Yes. A lot of... if you're a Beauty and the Beast fan, you are definitely represented. And they have the gift shop
say
there as well.
Mm-hmm. 2/3 of New Fantasyland is Beauty and the Beast themed.
Yeah,
which is interesting because originally the Gaston's Tavern was supposed to be the Snuggly Duckling or whatever that is.
That's right.
Tangled.
Yeah.
And they opted to not go with that. So
That's a nice little place. It's cozy. I went there for like an evening last September. And it was kind of chilly. Not that it ever gets really cold here, but it was in the low 60s, and that's chilly in Florida. And it was nice to go in there because they had the simulated fireplace, you know, those pork things they have there are delicious.
Now, someone took a picture of the menu a few weeks ago and tweeted, have they gotten rid of the pork shanks at Gaston's Tavern? And it wasn't listed anywhere.
Oh, no. I don't know. I haven't been there since last year.
I cannot confirm personally, but it's worth looking into maybe.
This is not a Disney Confessions episode, but I will confess, I'm not a big fan of LeFou's Brew. It's a little too apple-y for my taste, personally.
Yes.
You've got the gift shop, Enchanted Sales with Belle. Just kidding, it's not called that.
Hey, they do have, and I get ripped on a lot from you two for being a plush fan, but they have... even a plush that is too much for me that I saw. They have the Beast plush that, first off, it's $40. Like, I'm not even kidding. $40. And it's, like, huge. Like, it's as big as a small child. And they sell it there in that gift shop. And it is just as big and awkward looking as the character meet and greet. So if you're a plush fan, they have that. And then they have the worst. Oh, it's Minnie in the Belle dress with like Belle's hair, but it's not even like hair. It's like a piece of fabric. I should have taken a picture.
Yes.
It's horrible.
That's awesome.
Terrible.
So, that shop has its
gaudiness. For Enchanted Tales with Belle to be as much of a letdown as the rest of the attraction is, it is actually worth it to go just for the pre-show to go through the mirror and see that effect. The little magic mirror that takes you to the castle. Everything after that, there should be like a chicken exit.
The mirror effect though is the best. It is great.
And actually, the dresser, what's her name? Just the dresser lady. That animatronic is pretty.
That's her name.
The dresser lady. There you go.
A couple notes I have about Beauty and the Beast. One is you can meet Belle and the Beast at several places. Why can't you meet the other characters? I would love a picture with Cogsworth or Lumiere.
Yeah.
And they're in the stage show, so obviously the costumes exist.
Yeah.
But apparently they're dangerous.
Yeah, they fall over all the time.
Yeah, you can. That is interesting. You can meet Belle and Beast in Epcot. You can meet them in Magic Kingdom. Can you meet them at Hollywood Studios?
I don't know.
So I guess just two places, but they're on stage in Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
So three of the four parks.
Can you get a picture with the Lumiere animatronic that's in Enchanted Tales with Belle? Do they let you do that?
I'm sure you could.
I don't know why you'd want to. It's somewhere.
No,
I think you can.
Too.
Okay.
Yeah, you can, but I think it's one of those ones you got to like do it immediately after the show ends because they kind of
usher you in. Okay. Yeah. My other observation is they are able to do a lot with this movie in the parks as far as parades and like PhilharMagic with the music and everything, but I don't think they're ever going to be able to do a ride. It seems like they just haven't, maybe they don't even want a ride, but if they have, they obviously haven't found that perfect idea that would make a good ride.
I don't think it lends itself to a ride.
I don't think so either. So.
But there is something about Beauty and the Beast that has at least the Be Our Guest theme song. I remember that being a form of it being on some of the very first vacation planning videos that I received as a child, back when they mailed you the video cassette VHS tape in the mail. And on the front of at least two or three years there, they had like a rewritten version of Be Our Guest that was kind of like the opening song. Like, here's Walt Disney World, Be Our Guest, and all this.
That makes sense.
And it had that, just that little happy, you know, feel to it. So Be Our Guest is worked into everything, obviously in Fantasmic and the Mickey's PhilharMagic. And then not to mention the song Beauty and the Beast, which winds its way into every Princess medley from Wishes to Fantasmic to...
Sensational.
Yeah, yeah. Everywhere.
Yes. Happy, happy, happy. That's me.
All right. Well, moving on to 1992's... Oh, it's funny. They just started kind of cranking out movies every year.
Yeah, well, that was part of Jeffrey Katzenberg. He, once they saw the success of Little Mermaid, like the animation department doubled in size overnight.
And you can see that if you're looking on a site or a list that tells you the distributors or the production partners or what have you, after Beauty and the Beast, Disney starts producing their own like completely. Hmm. You know, not with whatever Silver Screen partners or anything like that. Just completely Walt Disney feature animation. So they hit their stride and they kept on going with it.
Hmm. Now, I remember we mentioned Homeward Bound earlier, which is funny because Aladdin is the first movie I actually specifically remember being in the theater when I went to the theater, because I went to see Homeward Bound while my parents, maybe it's Homeward Bound 2, while my parents saw, I mean, my mom and sister saw Aladdin, which is the movie that came out next.
It was Homeward Bound.
Homeward Bound, okay. So I didn't see Aladdin, but that's the first time I actually remember one of these movies being in the theater. But yeah, Aladdin, a huge hit, another great Alan Menken score.
Absolutely. And it around this time, right before Aladdin went into full production, was when Howard Ashman died as well,
who was
the great lyricist. But Aladdin definitely kept in the theme as far as – there is kind of an overall theme with all these movies. They all seem to be about – young people that desire to get out of their situation and be something. So it definitely continues that theme. But this time with a male heroine, or hero rather. heroine, which I think was probably a risk at that time for Disney, because here you had Ariel, you had Belle.
Things had been working.
Yeah, so good for them for going outside.
But Jasmine was in the same predicament. It was just from a different side of the tracks.
Oh, yeah.
That is true.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. This is like basically Romeo and Juliet with a happy ending.
Yeah, no, that's Pocahontas. No, Pocahontas was West Side Story. That's what they said. Anywho, yeah, so Aladdin, another very successful movie, partly due to Robin Williams, of course.
Oh, for sure. Which makes me wonder why Genie isn't more present in the parks than he is, especially now that Spectro Magic is gone.
Yeah.
Does he have a role anywhere?
Not that I can think of.
Wishes.
Oh, that's true, yeah. But they actually had a falling out.
You got some wishes to grant.
He had a falling out with the Disney company after this because...
The genie?
No, Robin Williams.
Oh.
And because...
Yes. Yes, the genie. He just Eli, I'm not signed on for this anymore.
I'm free now. Leave me alone. No, but that's why in Return to Jafar, it's not Aladdin. It's not Robin Williams who voices the genie.
Return to Jafar.
Aladdin obviously had some problems too. It's not really Aladdin anymore.
Shut up. It's not Robin Williams as the voice of the genie in the second film is what I'm trying to say. He doesn't come back till the third film.
Right.
And anyways, but Aladdin was successful. We have the flying carpets in Adventureland. There you go.
See, that's another thing that's funny to me, because the magic carpet ride is like this epic, soaring, swooping attraction, and they built the slowest possible, lamest attraction they could for the magic carpet.
Just stuck it right there.
And put it in the worst spot, yeah.
And that was all because they had extra Aladdin parts when the parade ended, and they thought, what are we going to do with this? People like Aladdin. Let's do a carpet ride. A spinner. Yeah, we need a spinner.
Speaking of parades, I'm going to get a little bit ahead of us. And I remember, like, ever since I've been a Disney fan now, I've seen so many pictures of all the parades of the 90s. And it seems like half of these movies got their own parade that would run for like 2 or 3 years after the movie. So you've got Aladdin's Royal Caravan Parade.
Now, a lot of them were at the studios, right?
Most of them were, yeah. But some of them ran in Magic Kingdom. The Lion King celebration, which is what we owe most of the props in the Festival of Lion King to. You had the Hercules Victory Parade. Mulan got its own parade. It was like the thing. It was almost like a Frozen thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm surprised there wasn't a whole Frozen parade.
Well, they had the pre-parade, you know, the little pre-thing.
One flow.
Well, that's enough. my first exposure, though, to Aladdin in the parks was the Full House special. When Michelle gets to be Princess of the Day, when she rubs the magic lamp and Genie comes out. And when I went to Disney World, I was looking for that, and it was not there. But
and it's such a meta episode because the voice of Aladdin plays Steve. It's meta.
Scott Wiener.
Huh? It's Scott Weinger.
Oh, my bad.
Wiener.
anywho, so Magic Carpet Rides, is there any other Aladdin references?
Musical references everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, of course, yeah. Philharmagic. Well.
Why are they not in parades? Every prince and... most princes and princess couples are in parades. So why not them? They're really popular.
That is true. And Jasmine actually has the distinction of being the first non-white princess of the crew. So...
That makes sense. But I'm just saying, like, I understand, obviously, why Mulan and her boo are maybe not on the parade float. But Aladdin and Jasmine, as a couple, are really popular. So yeah. I just don't get that.
Jasmine is one of those costume characters, though, that does suffer from looking a mess.
Yeah.
Not as much as a boo, but...
Yeah. And they don't really have winter wear. So when it gets to December and they're wearing their bare midriff, it's a little cold, I guess.
No, she does come out at the Christmas party or the Halloween party, though. And she does, if it is chilly, she will wear a jacket.
Okay.
That's kind of sequency, but yeah. It is kind of immodest. Not as immodest as like Tarzan.
Hey!
Tarzan. Or Mowgli.
You get all the middle-aged men lining up for Jasmine. No, there are some happy, nice... I'm always the one that brings in the musical references, but there are some good things and wishes with the whole New World theme. And Mickey's Philharmagic. You know, that whole area at the end there is very pretty.
Was not Genie... the character in the animation show there at Hollywood Studios before Mushu?
No, I think Robin Williams played himself.
Yeah. Oh,
okay, I see.
He might have been part of it. I don't know. Oh, Genie's on the... I always liked that part. When you went to Disney Quest and got on the elevator, Genie was kind of like... You got on a regular-looking elevator that had like mirrors around it, but one set of mirrors was actually... It turned into like a screen on the other side. So as you were ascending to the port at Disney Quest, the indoor interactive theme park thing, there was like a video montage that the genie was the host for, told you all you could do and where to go and the maps and all that. It was pretty cool.
Isn't Jafar the snake in Fantasmic?
Yes.
Did I have that wrong? Okay. I just saw that because I always thought it was a snake from Jungle Book until you guys corrected me and said it was Jafar.
That's at Disneyland.
Oh, Disneyland. Oh, my bad.
Ka's at Disneyland.
Oh, okay. So I'm right. Jafar's at Disney World.
Yes.
Okay, okay.
If they ever expand Fantasyland again, which may happen one day, I would love to see Agrabah be a part of that.
Yeah.
I think there's a and the Sultan's Castle is a very unique looking castle as well. That would be a fun thing to have.
Does that mean that the bazaar and Adventureland goes away?
Ooh, that you can move it. Hmm. Sure.
It's a palace.
Oh, what'd I say?
Castle.
Oh, tomato, tomato.
Okay. Okay, so I lied earlier. I said one every year. There's a film every year starting in 94, and we're going to jump ahead to The Lion King. And not just every year, a film was released every June after this, which is good for Disney. But The Lion King, for me, the first thing is Festival of the Lion King, Matt's favorite attraction in all of Walt Disney World and America.
Nope.
Oh, I must have gotten that wrong.
You did.
Well, a little bit of history. The Lion King was actually not supposed to be the big hit that it was supposed to be. All the main, like, top animators were working on Pocahontas. And this was kind of like the B-Squad working on Lion King. So it was really a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, I remember this just felt like to people. And I was like 9 or 10. So I'm just talking about what it felt like hearing it, knowing the sales, seeing it at the parks. This felt like the crown jewel on this period in Walt Disney animation. And it will prove to be as we continue to go.
Yeah.
But The Lion King was certainly a huge success for Disney. And I don't know, what was the opening date for the Legend of the Lion King show?
I think it was that year, 94.
Yeah. And it was very popular, too. I remember waiting a long time for it.
What did it use, like puppets or live actors?
It was puppets and some animatronics, and it was in the theater where Mickey's PhilharMagic currently is. Magic Journeys was there before.
Yeah, I wish I could have seen that, The Legend of the Lion King.
It was cool.
And I know it was a popular film because nowadays, every time Disney has a good movie, someone in their review says the best Disney movie since Lion King.
Since The Lion King. Yeah, it seems to be the watermark there, the standard.
Never fails. Okay, I've never seen Circle of Life, an environmental fable, so I want you guys to explain it to me.
It's terrible.
Oh, okay.
I like it. No, it's dated. It's so dated.
It's been open 20 years this year.
Yes.
It's just terrible. Like, it's a little film that it starts out with Pumbaa and Timon, and they want to build a resort, like an all-inclusive resort kind of a thing. And in doing so, they dam up the river. And it causes problems downstream because the grass dies off and the other animals don't have anything to drink and all that kind of thing. And so Simba shows how we have to be careful about how our footprint or whatever we leave on the environment is. And it shows then live action footage of animals and pollution and just taking care of the environment.
Very simple. Humans, stop building things.
No, it's not really that. It's just be responsible.
Because when you do, animals die.
And then at the end, of course, they change their mind and they undam the river and peace is restored to the kingdom once again.
Okay.
So again, it's an environmental fable and it teaches us that we need to be good stewards.
It's a little risque at that one point. I remember that with my parents because
Pumbaa, not in front of the kids.
No.
Well, when they begin to talk about the dam, damming up the river or whatever, it shows like a video.
A live-action real dam, yeah.
And Pumbaa says, "Damn."
Like really loud.
Oh my goodness.
Everybody's like, it's like, no, really.
Wow.
Yeah, it was, it's risque. It's questionable.
It is a little bit.
Yeah, my virgin ears, I almost
bled. Just say Circle of Life is not the crowning jewel of Lion King representation.
No, it's so funny to me because it really is like a good-sized theater that it's in. Like, it can definitely hold a couple 300 people in there. So I'm surprised that it has lasted this long.
Yeah.
And it definitely does need something new and fresh there. But again, it's not a terrible show.
Yeah. Well, Lion King has certainly found a home in Animal Kingdom, because I already mentioned Festival of the Lion King, but then, like, that whole Rafiki's Planet Watch area.
Yeah.
I mean, there may not be a lot of Lion King references once you get there, but it's called Rafiki's Planet Watch, so.
Well, you know, like you said, Festival of the Lion King's there, and then Timon is definitely a character that was in the Jam and Jungle Parade when that was around, and I think you can still probably meet him somewhere. But yeah, that's
Rafiki
the thing.
Rafiki is always meeting out there at Rafiki's Planet Watch.
Right, right.
That's the thing. Like, The Lion King has a lot of good characters, not just the main characters, but all the side characters are interesting as well. So, yeah. You know, somebody like Rafiki can stand on his own.
And let us not forget Tiki Room under new management.
Zazu. God bless.
But that's gone. Thank goodness.
I mean, to Zazu's credit, he was the one saying, let's not change anything.
That's true. He's got a good head on his shoulders.
Yes, he does.
Do you know who voiced Zazu?
A British person.
Yeah. Mr. Bean. Rowan Atkinson. He's the voice of Zazu.
I don't think never I ever would have put that.
Wait, Rowan Atkinson.
Is that his name?
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah.
Or is that the Archbishop of Canterbury?
No. That's Rowan Atkinson.
Okay.
Lion King is one of the four wings of Art of Animation Resort, right?
Yes.
Okay. So that's a pretty big deal. I mean, they had to choose four films, and they picked The Lion King.
But even, like, I know, maybe this is just my American's central brain or whatever, but even, like, at Animal Kingdom Lodge, like, when I see just African art and things, I just automatically associate that with The Lion King. And I think it has to do because of, like, the stage show on Broadway and things. They really brought out a lot of that, you know, made it less cartoony and brought in a lot of that African heritage into it. So even when I'm at Animal Kingdom Lodge, like, my mind just automatically goes to Lion King, even though there's not really anything explicit there.
Yeah, so that's true.
It has that effect on you.
It's funny, except for Peter Pan, PhilharMagic is pretty much an homage to the early 90s in the Disney Animation Studios.
That's true.
Little Mermaid, Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, Lion King.
Yeah.
Yep. Huh. All right, let's move on to 1995, everyone's favorite Disney movie, Pocahontas. Excuse me, I had something in my throat there.
Now, I have to make a disclaimer here because people do like this movie. My mother and my sister, they would tell you this is their favorite Disney film.
Hmm.
In fact, my mom.
Why? How is like that a possible answer to that
my
question?
My mother, the only time I have ever seen my mom excited about meeting a character was when we were at Animal Kingdom and she saw Pocahontas out for a meet and greet. And she literally said, I got to get my picture with Pocahontas. And we got our picture with Pocahontas and Miko. So it takes all kinds, folks.
I've never gotten my picture with her, I don't think. I don't think I've seen her.
Well,
probably because she hides every time you come around because she knows how much you hate her film.
She is one with nature and she blends in.
Okay, well, it was funny to me, too. There was
a picture.
She goes
in the trees. What is she goes in the tree's mouth or something?
Open up, Grandma.
What is that dang tree she talks to? What, she goes up in
Grandmother
it.
Grandmother Willow.
Grandmother Willow. She didn't go in the tree, like in the branches, not in the tree.
I haven't watched that movie in like 20 years.
She does have a very large role in Fantasmic.
She does.
That's true.
Which I guess, if that's the only place she's going to be, that's fine.
Well, Fantasmic at Walt Disney World was 98. And so I guess they were like, let's try to make Pocahontas work. And it's the only part of that show that's like, oh, Pocahontas.
I know.
But if you didn't know it was Pocahontas, or if you didn't have anything against the movie, it's still a good scene with all the...
That's true. I like the drums. When the canoes come in, I like the boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Drums. Yeah.
I did see something on Twitter.
Racist. And Governor Ratcliffe is the least successful of every Disney villain, except the blasted one on Tarzan, whatever his name is.
Clayton.
Yeah, I don't like
them.
But, well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. I did see something on Twitter one time that was really funny, and that was Pocahontas. I guess it had started raining at her meet and greet at Animal Kingdom, and so her handler was holding an umbrella over her while she walked backstage, and they were like, Pocahontas, one with nature, but cannot get wet by rain.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, yeah, that's true.
Why is she a Disney princess? Help me out.
Because she's a chief's daughter.
Her dad's, the chief.
Okay, I'll give that to you. All right.
And she had her own stage show there at Animal Kingdom up until just a few years back. Pocahontas and her Forest Friends or whatever it was.
It's been that recent?
I thought it was like she had her show for like a year.
Yeah.
Years.
No, it was like 2010 it closed. So not recent, but I mean, recent enough.
There was a show called The Spirit of Pocahontas that opened the same year the movie came out. I think it was in Magic Kingdom, but it closed a year later. No, Hollywood Studios.
The movie does have good music.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you that.
It is a compelling story as far as it is the story of, you know, the two kids from opposite worlds falling in love. It does have that general appeal of that. But why the movie is so lackluster, I don't know. I think
it lacks heart. It lacks heart. It lacks spirit. It's not fantastical.
Lots of spirit. Listen.
It has weird spirits. People liked, you know, the anthropomorphism that happened in Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast. They liked that kind of stuff with inanimate objects having personality. And sure, you have like raccoons and stuff.
That is true.
But they don't talk.
Yeah.
No, it's just very un-Disney-like. It almost feels more in the vein of like a Prince of Egypt or the Joseph one than it does. El Dorado than it does anything else.
That is true. That it does have that more realistic, if you can say that, other than the talking.
So after Lion King, Little Mermaid, Aladdin, people are like, okay, John Smith, America, this is from a history book. Who cares?
If they came by on a parade together, the crowd would definitely get quiet and be like, oh, there's that Indian girl.
There they are. Yay.
I don't know about that. It did have a huge premiere, though, the biggest movie premiere in history.
Because everyone was expecting The Lion King, too.
Well, they premiered it in Central Park on these giant screens for like 100,000 people. It was huge.
Hmm.
Before we move on from Pocahontas, also, it does have amazing voice talent as far as Hollywood A-listers go, because you have Mel Gibson and Christian Bale. Granted, a young Christian Bale, but Christian Bale is in that film as well. So, just throwing that out there.
That's true.
You're right. Also, a raccoon.
His name is Miko.
Well, as we go into the second half of this decade, I think these films are all enjoyable in their own ways, but they're certainly not represented as well in the parks today. So first, in 1996, we have The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
This is a movie that as a kid, I loved.
Really?
And even as an adult, I still love it. And I love it even more since I've been to Notre Dame there in Paris. And I guess I feel like I have a connection. But I just remember loving this movie as a child. I remember having all the toys. I remember the songs. And it is kind of strange that I loved it as much, because it really it goes with along with Pocahontas as far as that very realistic and very dark. As I watched it as an adult, the themes in it are very
dark. Dark and awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan. I do like the music
in this one is fantastic.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not what I would consider like, I mean, it's obviously Disney music, but when I'm listening to it, I feel like I'm listening to like a more of a centralized Broadway score than I am listening to a Disney musical, but it's still beautiful music.
Well, that's the,
and
that's
the animation was pretty too.
That's the genius of Alan Menken and Stephen Schwartz, who wrote the music, who, mm-hmm. if Stephen Schwartz, you may recognize from Wicked.
Mm-hmm. Matt, did you see The Hunchback of Notre Dame, a musical adventure?
Yes.
It lasted 8 years. No, 6 years. 6 years.
If anything can possibly be worse than Beauty and the Beast live on stage, that show was. First of all, it's in a building. If you go to the New York Street at Hollywood Studios now, if you turn down one of the side streets, you'll see the San Francisco facade, forced perspective painted thing, mural. In that building on which that is connected was where the Hunchback of Notre Dame show was. So awkwardly placed. It felt like you were just like in an outdoor like picnic warehouse at some public park somewhere. And the show itself was just not – I don't remember. I mean, I was a little too, and you know, it doesn't take a lot to – not little. I guess I was like 11 or 12, so maybe I was just a senile teenager. Cynical, not senile.
I was like, wait.
I'm crazy.
A cynical teenager. It had a lot of puppets. Like the little, what's his name? The jester guy. What's his name?
Clopin.
Clopin. Yeah. He came out with little puppets and told a lot of the story. And it was just weird. The set was cheap. It was like painted murals and things. And it was just terrible.
Huh. Well, that's a shame, because they just brought it to a stage in L.A., like possibly going to Broadway. I don't think it is now, but they created an elaborate musical, and it got really good reviews while it was in LA.
Yeah. Again, great music. I mean, just tremendous music.
Yeah, I agree. But I don't know of anywhere it is now, in Disney World at least.
Do you think that the religious themes throughout it turn people off, maybe?
No, it's just when you're at Disney World, I mean, they got to think about the things they're putting together. People don't want stupid songs about colors in the wind, and they don't want songs about, you know,
being an outcast.
As pretty as that is, God Help the Outcast is a beautiful song. And as pretty as, like, Out There, is that the name of it somewhere?
Uh-huh. Yeah, Out There.
Just Out There. This isn't Five Will Goes West.
Yeah. As pretty as those songs are, you know, they just don't fit in that word of the day, fantastical element that, like, Be Our Guest and Beauty and the Beast and all of those songs do. So that you wouldn't put that in, like, a fireworks show or a parade or something. It'd be like a downer.
Topsy-turvy, I could see that going somewhere.
Oh, yeah, maybe like the unbirthday song, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. But
yeah, alas. No, I'll give it to you on that, though. I, as far as Out There goes, that is not a really...
It'd almost be like a killjoy if they incorporated any of these movies into anything at Disney World.
Yeah. Well, we move on from 96 to 97 when Hercules was released. And like I said earlier, the Hercules Victory Parade ran for a couple years in Hollywood Studios. And then the film died forever at the parks.
Which is weird because you talked to people who grew up around this time and people like this film.
I like Hercules.
Yeah, and this really then too has Meg, which is kind of the anti-princess. And yeah, there's certainly a segment that likes her as well. So
Yeah. Can you meet her? I feel like I've seen a meet and greet with her.
I think you can, like, a Halloween something, right? She was in
maybe the... Maybe so. Yeah. I feel like I've seen pictures with her.
And Hercules. You can see Hercules, too, from time to
time. Oh, gosh. That Hercules they had a few months ago. Remember him?
Yeah, he looked a mess.
It's like prepubescent Hercules.
You mean Hercules?
I like this movie, and I like the songs in this movie, and I think this returns to what the other two movies we just talked about did not get. And that was just kind of a fun... feel with serious elements, but it's a more Disney style movie.
It took a movie with hell for us to get back to being fun.
Yes. And Go the Distance, what a song.
Oh,
that is.
Yeah,
yes,
that's song. In Wishes, right?
It is.
Yeah
that, and that says something, that it found its way into Wishes. And also the Michael Bolton version is like my go-to when I'm flying on an airplane. It's like my soundtrack. I don't know why. It just happens.
On speakerphone for everyone to hear.
Listen, you didn't know Matt was a huge Michael Bolton fan, but you're finding out. Right after that, he listens to Steel Bars Wrapped All Around Me and When a Man Loves a Woman.
I'm sure we'll get more Hercules references when that Greek pavilion finally opens in World Showcase. But until then...
Well, again, it's just amazing me they have not expanded this because the Hercules universe... really does offer lots of possibilities for things that could be fun in the park. I mean, could you imagine like an Athens area, you know, like I said, a themed restaurant and just that culture kind of a feel?
Yeah. Oh, well. Moving on to 98. I definitely saw this in the theater and I loved it. It's Mulan.
My second favorite Disney film of all
time. It's so great.
So good. So good. Good music, good story. Good comedy.
It still makes me laugh out loud when I watch it.
I did not like this one until I was in college and I bought it, I think, on DVD and watched it again. I was like, you know, that is a really good movie.
And arguably the last good Eddie Murphy film.
Yeah. I remember the day we went to see this in theaters, they had the big promotion going on at McDonald's. And so my aunt and my cousin and I, we were going to go see it on a weekday sometime in the summer. And she took us to McDonald's and we got the chicken McNuggets with the Mushu Szechuan sauce.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. Wow. I remember that. It was a little promotion. A little toy came with it. But Mulan is good. And you're right. Very underrepresented in the parks to have such good music and good characters.
Why have they done nothing with I'll Make a Man Out of You? Like, they have such a treasure on their hands with that song. Actually, that whole scene. Like, they could incorporate that whole scene into some inspiring montage.
But I think it goes back to, really, in reality, what can you do? Because it doesn't lend the story like... what was the film we said before that doesn't lend itself well to a ride, the Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast.
It doesn't lend itself. I mean, how would you do a dark ride of Mulan? It really wouldn't work out very well. Are you going to do a restaurant?
Every time I go, a restaurant would be great. Every time I go to P.F. Chang's, any P.F. Chang's that have like the giant horses outside, I always think of Mulan. What's her horse's name?
I think it's called Little Brother, isn't it? Or is that the dog?
I don't know. Sounds very Chinese. Let's go with it.
Yeah.
No, but that's the thing. Like, if you did a Mulan restaurant, it would just be looking like your Kung Fu Chicken down the road, you know?
Yeah.
It wouldn't
be. Well, no, but they could retheme, like, Nine Dragons to, like, something. I mean, just put elements. Not retheme it and make it goofy, but
yeah, that's elements true.
Of, like, the Emperor's Palace or something.
Now that Art of Now that the animation, what's it called? The magic of Disney animation is closed. Mushu's not really being incorporated. And say what you will about Eddie Murphy, but Mushu is a good character in the Disney universe.
Absolutely.
He could host Reflections of China or something.
That would be fun. Be
mildly racist in like every category.
Listen, maybe a little bit.
With the Caitlyn Jenner trend happening, cross-dressing is in. So bring out some Mulan something. It really would go far.
I feel like Fantasmic. I'll make a man out of you. You plop that right in there. Have her climb that pole and everybody cheers.
That would be fun.
I don't know. It's just such a good song. I love that song.
That's what I look forward to every time. Climb that pole.
To Donnie Dosman singing.
I cannot wait.
Have you guys seen pictures of the Mulan parade that ran? Or Matt, you may have even seen it in person.
I did, but I don't remember much of it except they were in cars.
I love this dragon. Hold on. Give me a second. I love this dragon that they ran through the streets. Isn't that cool? Oh,
that is cool.
I'm like, they could put that in any parade as just one float, you know? I mean, it's kind of awkward that the men have to carry it, but still, I think it's
really like the Chinese dragon thing, right? They get underneath it and carry it.
Well,
like
that's true. Yeah, it's authentic.
Yeah.
I think Festival of Fantasy, you could easily had a fun Mulan section in that.
Well, except she's not fantasy. It's based on a true character.
No, it's based on a true legend, but Mulan wasn't a real person, I don't think.
Oh. Oh, you just crushed me.
Sorry.
You ruined that movie.
There certainly weren't talking dragons and ancestor worship. Well, there is ancestor worship, I guess.
Maybe she believed that dragon talked to her the whole time.
But she's like the Cinderella of China.
Yeah, this is her memoir that she wrote herself.
The memoir real Mulan was...
This dragon named Mushu was telling me to put my hair in a bun and...
The real Mulan was in a padded room somewhere. So.
Yeah. So from Mulan, we move on to 1999's Tarzan. Oh my gosh. I must have been the right age when these came out because I loved Tarzan too.
Yeah, Tarzan. Again, I don't know why people hate it. I like all these movies. I don't know why people hate on them. But Tarzan, again, good music. I mean, Phil Collins, hello. You can't go wrong.
I would say it's some kind of generational thing otherwise, but like we're the same age. Right. I don't understand why this disconnect has happened. Like 95, I cut off. I'm like, nope.
What do you not like about it?
I don't – it's just the characters are not engaging.
See, I don't think so.
I don't think it has a Disney vibe to it. I guess I'm more inclined to like things – that have that fairy tale supernatural element to it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, I will give you that.
But mythic almost. I just don't like the real feeling cartoons. I'm not into that.
I can see that.
Again, another film that has all-star voice cast, Glenn Close, Rosie O'Donnell, at the height of Rosie O'Donnell's
popularity.
That doesn't
do anything for me.
No, me neither.
Oh, when I found out, because I used to watch the Rosie O'Donnell
show. I
mean,
that's what DreamWorks relies on. It's like, oh, Will Ferrell's voicing the funny guy. Like, oh, no, it's be good.
As a kid who watched...
You just, like, summed up DreamWorks.
I know.
One word.
But as a kid who loved the Rosie O'Donnell show and watched it every day, to find out Rosie was going to be a voice of a cartoon character, that was amazing. And then, you know, just again, I like this film. The music, again, good. I still rock that soundtrack. I think it's very tender, the relationship between Tarzan and the mother gorilla, and then Kerchak with that whole conflict there, and then that's resolved. Wonderful.
But let's talk about the parks for a second.
Nada.
We've met him at the Halloween party.
Oh, awkward.
Matt, did you have the pleasure? It was kind of awkward. Did you have the pleasure of seeing Tarzan Rocks?
No, but that was there for a long time.
Yeah. It was where, wait, where was it? Animal Kingdom, where something is now.
It was at Finding Nemo.
Finding Nemo.
Yeah, that's right.
But it was an outdoor theater.
Theater in the wild.
Yeah.
I heard so many bad things about that show.
Well, it's just over the top, like acrobatics and stuff that people don't really care to go see.
Yeah.
And now, not at Walt Disney World, but in Disneyland, they have rethemed the treehouse to Tarzan.
Right. Which is a big deal.
It is a big deal.
People were not happy about that. At least people I talk to. I still meet people every now and then. Somebody just a couple years ago told me they grew up going to Disneyland and love it. And the one thing he told me was, I was so disappointed when I took my grandkids there and I showed them the Swiss Family Treehouse and it was gone. It was Tarzan. I said, I'm so sorry about that.
Now, we've met Turk as well. I just remember that.
Turk has a strong presence as far as meet and greet at Hollywood Studios goes. I mean, Animal Kingdom,
yeah. Yeah, except I actually met her.
Her? Yeah.
In Magic Kingdom. It was one of those things when you walk out of an attraction and all of a sudden there are like five random characters grouped together, maybe practicing or something.
Mm-hmm. What attraction, though?
You were there. You were there. It was when I was with my family the first
time. Was it American Adventure?
No, it was. That's not Magic Kingdom.
Oh, I didn't hear Magic Kingdom.
Where did we come out of?
That's why I'm curious why it was there.
Oh, gosh. I don't remember where it was. I feel like it was near Fantasyland, maybe? Like we had come out of It's a Small World or something.
Yes, yes, yes. It was before Storybook Circus, though, that end part of Toontown. There at the very end of Toontown.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
I remember. That was random, yeah.
And we got lots of good pictures, but it was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, because it was like Honest John was there. Yeah. And, yeah.
That's when someone said, who's the monkey or whatever? Yeah. You always tell that story, how someone said that, but
wonder why they changed the name to Turk. I mean, Tarzan's little sidekick was a chimp named Cheetah.
Yeah, I guess maybe they didn't have the rights to that part of Tarzan, maybe?
They're like Tarzan and Jane, though.
Yeah, I don't know. Or maybe
that's just a weird thing to pick from, you know, as Disney always, you know, picking from myths and folklore and legends and stuff, and then to go to Tarzan, which is what it's a straight up 20th century invention, right?
Again, it was during that time that they were drawing more from that kind of pool, because Pocahontas, you know, even though it's based in reality, Greek myth, you know, it's still a kind of a literature based pool right there. Even Mulan, like I said, had that legend in China kind of a thing. So they weren't necessarily going towards Grimm Brothers or Hans Christian Andersen at this time. They were even Hunchback. Hunchback was a novel. So they were. It was just that weird time at the studio, whoever was just, you know, picking the picks.
Yeah. Well, shall we move on? Well, is it even worth moving on to the last film of the 90s, which ironically is called Fantasia 2000.
Yeah, but it was released December 17th.
That's right.
So
I've never seen this.
It's been a while since I've seen it. You can buy it with Fantasia on Blu-ray. They come together, which is what I have. Again, I think that they were trying to honor Walt, and this was close to Walt's 100th birthday. He was going to be 100 in 1901. So I think they were kind of going back to doing some things that, you know, stuck with his vision. And he had visions for more Fantasia-like films. But,
and it's technically considered a live-action animation mix.
Oh.
But it's still, but it is part of the canon, though. It's part of the official animation canon. So.
Right.
But, again, it has beautiful animation. But if you're not a fan of Fantasia, you're definitely not going to be a fan of Fantasia 2000.
Yeah. No. So. It's not in the parks anywhere, is it?
No.
Like, all the nods of Fantasia are for the original.
No. At All-Star Movies, or is it music? No, it's movies. All-Star Movies, they have the Nutcracker scene, the ballerina, and the Jack in the Box from 2000. I don't know what that little segment was, but
The only segment I can remember is, don't they do like a Donald Duck as Noah?
And they have the Donald Duck as Noah and Daisy at the All-Star Movies too.
Huh? I need to get over there.
It's like a little picture thing. It's not one of the larger props.
Oh.
Okay.
Huh.
But yeah, they've mixed that in with the Mickey Sorcerer thing. And then...
It does have good music, though, in it. I mean, they got Symphony No. 5 from Beethoven, Rhapsody in Blue by Gershwin.
The Noah one is the Pomp and Circumstance, which is odd.
Funny. Yeah, yeah, that is funny. You just think graduation.
Yeah.
When all animals are marching on the ark, they're doing that part.
Excuse me. Donald Duck is Noah's assistant.
Not Noah himself.
Okay.
That's right.
Well, listeners, sorry to end it on such a bummer.
Boy,
but thank you so much for listening to this episode. Be sure to let us know anything we forgot. We'll be sure to talk about the 2000s in the coming episode.
But speaking of bummers.
Yeah, seriously. Oh, I don't even. Man, if I have to watch all these movies, I got a lot of catching up to do because I didn't even bother with half of them. But next week, Jeremy and I will be here to talk about Disneyland. We're going to give a full report on that trip, so be sure to come back and talk about, or hear about that, I guess. But until then, you can always find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, at Mad Chatters. You can always send your feedback or just say hello at comments@madchatters.net. And we will see you next week.
Take a little time to find the magic in every day.
Adios.
Oh, changed it up.
Mm-hmm.